Didn't he? Stand to your feet with me, please. Psalm chapter 44. God's been so good to me, I can't complain. Why do we complain so much if that's the case? Amen. You're right. Psalm chapter 44, verse number 1. The psalmist said, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand, and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand, and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever, Selah." I want to preach on this thought tonight. God can do it again. God can do it again. You can be seated. Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege to be found in your house. Lord, I thank you for everything that's been done. Lord, I thank you for these testimonies that we've heard. Lord, this is simply folks giving thanks, Lord, for what you've done. Lord, we do thank you. Lord, thank you for the singing. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd please help me as I preach. Lord, may it be an encouragement to your church tonight. Lord, may you use it in our lives, God. We know that you've done it before, and you can do it again. God, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach on this simple thought tonight. God can do it again. Aren't you thankful we have a God that can save and deliver and show mercy not just once or twice, but all through eternity? God can save time after time after time. His arm is never growing weak. His ears never grow dull. His vision never grows blurry. His speech never grows quiet. His wisdom never grows weak. He is God and always God, all in all, and God has done it once, he's done it before, and God has the power to do it again. This is the subject, I believe, the central theme of this chapter in Psalm, chapter number 44. We're reading after a man who is writing and praying unto God, and he's asking God to do it again for him. And what I mean by God doing it again, I mean God showing up in his life again and delivering him again and showing him his might and his power and his glory and his presence. This was a man that had known what God had done before for him and his people, and he was asking God to please do it again. The psalm that we're reading tonight is peculiar in the fact that there is no author ascribed to the psalm, and there is no occasion attributed to this psalm. We don't know what exactly this was about or who wrote this psalm, but if you read through this psalm, it is apparent that the psalmist, the man writing it, is going through a deep and a great valley, and he's going through a great time of calamity and distress. He's going through a time of suffering and reproach, and most likely it was not only him, but the whole nation of Israel he is speaking about were going through a valley together. Friend, may I pause right there and tell you, we have come to this time of the year that we enjoy most, the time of the holidays and the time of Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we celebrate all the freedoms that we have and all the things God has given. And this time, more than any other time, we spend with our families. This is to be the most joyous time of the year, but I've got news for you. You and I both know that even in these times, our calamities don't go away. The distresses don't always relinquish. We're left with the valleys and sufferings that we go through. And sometimes in these days, they are more amplified than any other time of the year. And maybe you're going through that time in your life. Maybe you're suffering loss or discouragement or depression or suffering on some level. Friend, I want you to know the psalmist can relate with you tonight. This psalmist felt like at this time in his life that God had cast him off. Look there in verse number 17 of the chapter. Excuse me, verse number 9. He said, but thou hast cast us, thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our enemies. Friend, this psalmist felt at this time in his life he was going through some type of suffering, some type of trial, some type of valley. And at this point in his life, he felt that God was within a million miles of him. He was nowhere to be found. He felt that God had literally cast them off and had put them to shame. The psalmist felt that God was no longer fighting for them. He felt that God had not only left off fighting for them, but he felt that God had scattered them. Look there in verse 11. He said in verse 10, thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Look in verse 13. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. This is how the psalmist felt. That's not happy preaching, but the truth be told, that's oftentimes how Christians can feel. Have you ever felt in a time of your suffering or derision that it felt that God had cast you off, that God had put you to shame, that God had stopped fighting for you? Have you ever felt like God had begun to scatter you before your enemies? Have you ever felt like God made you a reproach and a scorning and a derision among your neighbors? Have you ever felt utterly confused by what God was allowing to go on in your life? Look in verse 15. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. This psalmist was going through a time when he felt that God had utterly cast him away and left him there as a piece of dirt upon the ground, and he had felt totally left off by God. He was utterly confused. And then the psalmist began to examine his own heart. He wanted to know, did I do something that God would allow this in my life? Look in verse 17. He said, all this is come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Look in verse 18. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Look in verse 20. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. This man was going through a time of suffering that he felt that it wasn't right for God to allow. He felt that God had cast him off. He examined his own heart. He wondered, maybe it was something I've done. And when he looked inside, truthfully, he had not forgotten about God, although he felt forgotten by him. He had not turned his back on God, although he felt that God had turned his back on him. The psalmist found no reason in the present time that could help him understand what was going on. But friend, I want you to understand the key to this chapter is not about understanding what God is doing in your present circumstances. The key to the chapter is understanding what God already has There are plenty of times in this life where you feel that you're walking in darkness, friend. But I want you to know that you lean upon the light that has already been revealed unto you. When you do not know what to do next, do what you do know and obey what God has already told you. And when you don't know what God is doing, go back to what you know that He has already done in your life. The psalmist said, I don't understand what you're doing. I know that you have ordained a present trouble in my life, and I don't know why you're not working. But he told God, I know something. I don't know why you're not working right now, but I know this. I have known that you have worked in my past. I have heard and I have been told that God can do a great work. Look there in verse 1. He said in verse number 1 of Psalm 44, we have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. He is bringing a petition to God and pleading with God. He is asking God to wake up out of his sleep. Friend, God never sleeps, but God does desire his people to wake up and to seek him with an urgency as those in the ship with Jesus. You remember when they woke Jesus up. Friend, don't you know, even when Jesus was asleep in his omniscient mind, he knew everything that was going on. I don't care if he was asleep or not, but he wanted them to act in faith and come unto him. And that's what this psalmist is doing. He's saying, I don't know what you're doing right now, but I know what you have done. And that cannot be denied from me. What I know and what I have heard is that you have done great and marvelous works. And I may not have seen them with my own eyes, but my fathers have told me. I may not have heard of them with mine own ears, but my fathers have told me. And they know, and their record is true. God, you cannot hide your power from me. I know what you've done, and I know you can do it again. Look there in verse number 2. He said, I know how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand. You defeated our enemies and plantedst them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. You moved the enemies out of the way. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. God, I know the history of you and your people. I know that you fought for them. I know that you saved them. I know that you lightened them with your countenance. I know that you had favor on them. I know what you have done. Look there in verse 4. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances of Jacob. What's he saying? I know what you've done. I don't know what you're doing right now, but I know what you have done in the past. And he said in verse 4, thou art my king. In other words, you are the same God that you were in the days of my fathers. You're the same benevolent king with the same power. And I am your child, and I am trusting you as my fathers have trusted you. And I am begging you and pleading you to do a work in my time like you did in their time. Friend, God's still God. Do we know that? He's still the king. You know that, right? You know his right hand, his arm is just as strong now as it's ever been. You know the light of his countenance has not lessened any bit in the last thousands of years. You know that God is still in the saving business, in the convicting business, in the moving business. How many times do we hear about what God used to do? What God has done in our past? Friend, I want you to know it may not seem to you that God is working in such mighty ways in these days as he used to. But friend, I want you to know he's the same God. He's the same king. He's still well able. He can still do as he pleases. He can still deliver his children if he chooses to. He can still work mighty works among the heathen. And he's asking God, please do it again. There is no problem with asking God to do it again. You know what? I've been asking God since he saved me and called me to preach, would you do it again? Since we've been at this church, we've been asking God, would you please Do it again. God, we've heard and we've seen all the things that you've done in history. Would you do it again? God, I've heard about all of the great fires of revival that you've allowed to burn. Would you do it again? God, I've seen you call so many in the past to preach and to be missionaries. God, would you do it again? Lord, I've seen you save so many. I've heard of thousands that have come to Christ. Would you do it again? Lord, I've seen and I've heard in your word that you have used your church to turn the world upside down. Would you do it again? Lord, you've done it once. Twice is no problem for you. Lord, you've done it before. Would you do it now? Lord, we know what you've done. Will you please do it again? Could it be perhaps that God is not doing it again because he's simply waiting on us to call out to him to do it again? Could it be that simple? Could it be that we're simply just not asking and we never knew all along because we never asked? Could it be that we have taken for granted the working of God for too long and so he stopped it and he's waiting for us to really see just how much we need it? Friend, I've got confidence in the Lord. What he's done before, he can do again. I am thankful tonight for my church. I'm thankful, first of all, for my God, for my salvation. I've seen the Lord do many wonderful things in my life and blessed me so much in despite of my wickedness. And I've gone through times of backsliding, but every time I've been able to turn and say, God, you can do it again in my life. This church has been around 105 years. I would have liked to go back 100 years ago, listen to some of the first services in this church, wouldn't you? I'd like to hear the preaching that this place was founded upon, and the saving of souls, and the meetings and the gatherings there. Friend, I want you to know that 105 years ago, what God was doing then, he can do it again today. He's the same God. And I want you to know that I have seen God do it again. I've seen even in our church, and I hope that we're awake to this, I believe we have a revival that's going on in our church. And it may not be in a TV evangelist sort of way. Maybe not in the big fancy way that we maybe think of revival. But friend, there is true revival being sparked in our church. And we better thank God for it before he stops it. He's done it before, he can do it again. That's my prayer. I want to see souls saved. I want to see people surrender to the Lord. I want to see this church do a mighty work in this. You know what I'm tired of? And I believe the psalmist felt the same way in verse 13. He said, thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. I'm tired of the church being a scorn and a derision and a byword and confusion to those that are around the church. You realize this church is not just some dysfunctional place. This is the house of God. And there ought not to be a reason why we would be a byword and a scorn and a derision unto our neighbors. Friend, we need to ask God to help us that we would not be like this unto them. I'd like to see God work in such a mighty way that when people hear of it, it makes sinners be convicted for their sins. It makes them realize there is a God in heaven. And there are some people at Emory Heights Baptist Church that believe in him. Wouldn't you like that? God can do it again. Look there in the end of the chapter, verse 23. Awake. Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. If nothing else, God, would you do it again for your mercy's sake? Lord, would you help us, if nothing else, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for his cause? And friend, by the way, that's the only reason why we ought to do anything or ask anything of God is for the cause of Jesus Christ. He's been too good to us. Lord, he's done it once. He's done it before. He can do it again. This message is all I've had on my heart. I don't want to over-preach or extend it out any longer. I just want to give you a thought tonight. God can do it again. You remember when you were on fire for Him? God can do it again. You remember when God used you to be a witness to souls in such a mighty way, and you aren't now? God can do it again. You remember whenever God had you a joy in your heart, and you don't have that anymore? God can do that again. God's a God of the second chances. You remember when you ran from the call? God can do that again. You remember Jonah? He said, "Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." And Jonah arose and went the other way. He went the other way until chapter 3. And for a second time, God said, "Arise, Jonah, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it." God did it again in the life of Jonah. And he doesn't have to, but he will for his mercy's sake. God wants to do it again. Would we let him tonight? Maybe we need to just plead for him to do that. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Lord, do it again. I don't understand where you're at right now, but I know what you have already done. And I trust you could do it again. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight?